We are going to interview Ian. Ian, please come and join me. This is Ian. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Very, very well.
Now, Ian, you've been working in the city for 7 years, which is amazing. 7 years in the city, and I know you work in insurance, and you work in what a lot of people think is the sexiest part of insurance. Tell us what you do.
Compliance.
Compliance. Work in compliance, that's brilliant. Can you just tell us, what do you enjoy about your work?
Yeah, I guess I enjoy dealing with people. I feel a lot of queries from our underwriters, that sort of thing, about financial crime and those sort of things. So dealing with people, sometimes dealing with spreadsheets, I vaguely find interesting. But I guess sort of interacting with people is a big part of what I like, what I do.
That's brilliant. And can you tell us, over the last few years, you've been working in the city, what do you think you have found to be the difficulties in working in compliance in the city?
Yeah, I guess so. When I first arrived in the city, 7 years or so ago, I think it's very easy to feel that we've sort of made it, haven't we? As we arrive here and we think this is the start of a big career or maybe sort of the continuation of a big career, something like that. But I think as time goes on, you sort of realise that is this really all there is? I think that's something quite big, especially over the past year or so. I'm thinking if this is working from home, if this is what this job looks like, is it really as glam or as fun or as snazzy as I thought it was? And I think that's been quite a big thing as I sort of come to realise that I shouldn't be putting all my hope or all my meaning in work because it's not actually that fun, especially if you work in compliance.
Yeah, thanks. So obviously over the next few weeks, we're thinking about what the Bible has to say about our working lives. Why do you think it's helpful that we're doing that?
Yeah, like I said, I think we live here on earth. We've got this creator that wants to speak to us through the Bible, and he wants to tell us how the best way to live is. And I don't think that's by working ourselves into the ground. We see in the Bible that we should be working for the Lord. We should see all our lives shaped by what working as a Christian looks like. And I think once we realise that work is a good gift from God, but not everything, I think then that will really shape how we view work and potentially might help us enjoy work even more as we realise who we're ultimately doing it for.
Thanks so much, Ian. You can stay there because you're about to read for us. I just want to recommend a book to us. This is called Revolutionary Work, and it's fewer than 100 pages long, and you can probably read it on about 3 tube journeys, I reckon. And there's a great frequently asked questions section at the back, which is quite fun. It helps us to think about the kind of stuff that we're thinking about this summer, but it's a great book, and I think we've got a few copies at the back here, or I'm sure you can find it online. Now what's going to happen is Ian is going to read for us, and then Simon will come to speak. Ian.
So I'm reading from Genesis 3. If you've got the Bibles open, it might be on page 4. So Genesis 3, starting from verse 17 and going to 19. So Genesis 3 from verse 17. And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return."
Ali, Ian, thanks so much for that. Very warm welcome, everyone, if I can add my welcome to you all. I've been in paid work for about 34 years. If I do my sums vaguely correctly, I reckon by the time you add the time I've spent commuting, business travel, etc., that conservatively I've spent about 100,000 hours in work. You could say it's been quite a big part of my life. It's likely to be a big part of yours too. Certainly those of you who are younger than me, you're going to have to work a lot longer than me in order to pay for that retirement because you're going to live longer, interest rates are lower, you're going to have to work, anyway. A couple of years ago, after more than 20 years working with this particular firm, I was told that my services were no longer required. I'd led a division in the company for that entire period, for that 20-year period. And over that time, profits had grown by a factor of 10. When I started, I had about 30 people working in the division that I was responsible for. And by the time I left, there were somewhat over 500 people, each of whom was earning a good living. Our clients were, with very, very few exceptions, really pleased with the job that we were doing for them. And our shareholders, I think, were pretty happy too. But new management had come in, and my face, beautiful though it is, no longer fitted. And I was given the heave-ho. I was asked to pack my bags and to move on. Now, it's an important question, isn't there? How, as a Christian, am I meant to make sense of that? How does God help me understand the world of work and the place where I spend so many waking hours every day? Well, as Ian and Ali have mentioned, in order to make sense, we have to head to the Bible, and I think we need to head to the very beginning chapters of the Bible, because it's there that we discover, as one friend said to me on the way in, Simon, there are only two things that are there in the beginning of the Bible before the fall. Two things that God had created for mankind: work and marriage. Now, I've been married for nearly 34 years, but we're not going to talk about marriage. We're going to be talking about work today. And when we open our Bibles, the first thing we discover is that God himself is a worker. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work it out, because God made the world. He created the world. And not only that, did God create in the beginning, and we're told that he rested from his work on the seventh day. Not only is God a creator back then, but if you think about the person of the Lord Jesus, whom we believe to be God the Son, God come to earth in human form, God the Son came to earth as a worker. He came as a carpenter. He came as a laborer. He came as someone doing physical, manual work. And so if we look at the very first verses of the Bible, we see not only is God a worker, but we also see that God gave mankind a responsibility. It's there in chapter 2, verse 15 of Genesis. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. God is a worker. He made us to work. He made us for work. And originally, work was good. And there can be enormous satisfaction, even in the world of compliance. There can be enormous satisfaction as we write a good report, as we engage with colleagues responsibly as well, and as we perhaps deliver an excellent presentation. I know from my own personal experience, limited though it might be, that there can even be satisfaction in finishing the ironing. There really can be. There is satisfaction in performing the most menial of tasks. And so the first thing we have to conclude is that all legitimate forms of work, the compliance officer will tell you about some of the ones that are not legitimate, but that all legitimate forms of work are good. And we shouldn't have a snobbery about different types of work, because we're made in God's image, we're made in order to work, and work, all kinds of work, are of equal worth and value, irrespective of the role that we perform. And we need to beware adopting unbiblical, ungodly views about different types of work. If, like me, you were brought up with some element of privilege, you might have that very ungodly thought process that says, oh, I don't know, that being a lawyer or an architect or a doctor or even a banker, God forbid, is somehow superior to working with your hands and getting sweaty and doing things that are more menial in nature. And I want to encourage us to repent of the idea that anything other than a professional career, well, that would be beneath me. Now, that's an ugly and pagan way of thinking. All work is dignified. All work comes with responsibility. All work is good. And all work is necessary, isn't it? Actually, I need work in order to feed my face, to put clothes on my body and a roof over my head. I need to work. We need to work. Work is good. Now, I think it's important to say just en passant that not all work is paid. I don't see anything in the Bible about Adam and Eve being paid for doing the work that they were doing. People ask my wife, does she work? And she sort of slightly hesitates at that point because she doesn't get paid for the work that she does. The answer is, you bet she works. She doesn't get paid for it. And there's all sorts of jobs that are done, well, in a church, for instance, that people do unpaid, willingly, and without looking for recompense. But we're working as we do that. But it's worth thinking about it again, that why it is that it is so debilitating and so crushing often for people to be without work, to be unemployed, and that's because we are made to work. God made us to work. So to be without work, it's not a surprise that that is difficult. But we can't leave work there. Yes, God is a worker. Yes, we're made to work. But friends, I've got sobering news for you. And that is that our place of work is cursed by God. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 starts a new section in the book of Genesis. The section starts with a description of the ideal home, of the ideal work, and of the ideal marriage. But the chapter ends with a description of a broken marriage, broken work, and a broken home. It mirrors the beginning. And in the middle of that section, in the middle of chapter 3, or rather at the beginning of chapter 3, we have the explanation. And the explanation for the mess that we're in is that mankind has rejected God, turned away from him, told him that we'll have nothing to do with him. Adam and Eve rebel. And what the author is doing is he's explaining the world that we inhabit. The world we inhabit is a world that is after that initial rejection of by humankind of God, and that's a rejection that is repeated on a daily basis as you and I say to God, thanks, but no thanks. The world we inhabit is the world after that rebellion, and everything is impacted by that rebellion. Now, I don't know how you found the last 16 months. I don't know how you've experienced the world of work from the perspective of the COVID era that we've been in. Maybe you were laid off. Maybe you were furloughed. Perhaps like me, you suddenly had to adapt to new ways of working. You know, old dogs can occasionally learn new tricks, working from home. I have to say that there have been aspects of working from home that I've really welcomed. My daily commute is 3 hours, give or take. Well, it was. It's now about 30 seconds. That's what it takes me to get downstairs. Most days, I've been able to take a walk with my wife. It's fantastic. I haven't had that privilege for many years. That's been a real bonus. But I have to say, I crave what I would consider to be normal, inconsequential chats with colleagues. Working on Teams and Zoom is just incredibly transactional. It's impersonal. And I long for what I used to consider to be normal conversations with people. The camaraderie, as you discuss what's been happening in your life or their life. But now there's a relentlessness as I click from one call to the next Teams meeting. And some days, I have to say, it genuinely feels like my legs are going to drop off because I don't even have time. Well, I don't get to walk from one meeting to the next. I just click from one meeting to the next. And it's hard work. Now, I'm very privileged. I'm so privileged in many, many different ways. One of the ways in which I'm privileged is I've got space at home. I don't have to work from my bedroom. I'm very privileged in that I have a boss who is a good, caring, kind boss, whom I respect. And I have colleagues who are honourable and straight and who are, in the main, pretty competent. Now, I'm on a very, very good ticket in the area of work, but still, work can be a drudge and a bore and frustrating, and it's never done. And, you know, it feels like we're making progress, but the reality is we never arrive. Now, some days it feels rather less like I'm working from home and rather more like I'm living at work. Can you relate to that? Is that your experience? And in Genesis chapter 3, we read about the frustration and pain of work. Adam, because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. Previously, work was to be a joy, but now it's an era and an area of frustration and of futility. Hard labour and pain are its hallmarks. So, my friends, I want to say to you, don't be naive. Don't expect work to be great. Or rather, too often, you will experience that it is grim. And now, we want to produce something good from our labours, don't we? But verse 17, we're told it will produce thorns and thistles. Now, one of the marks of being middle-aged, and yes, perhaps that's generous, but one of the marks of being middle-aged, I have found, is that you suddenly develop a great interest in that exciting sport called gardening. I have a garden. It produces thistles and thorns and nettles and docks and chickweed and the odd carrot and the odd lettuce. It's relaxing, well, sort of relaxing. It's hard work, but there's a sort of therapeutic aspect to gardening. But the reality is that as we labour away in the garden, it does produce things that we don't want it to produce, and the same is true in the area of work. Daily battles, daily frustrations. It might be the technology that doesn't quite work. It might be that my colleagues don't want to cooperate in quite the way that I would like them to, which really means they don't want to do what I want them to do. It may be that you have a boss that just doesn't get it. Have you heard of the Peter Principle? Does that mean anything to you? The Peter Principle? You have to be quite old to know about it. Caught you there. The Peter Principle has the maxim that people rise in a hierarchical organisation to the level of their maximum incompetence. You're quite competent doing a job, so you get promoted. You're vaguely competent at doing the next job, so you get promoted. But the skills that were required for those earlier jobs bear nothing to the skills that you require to do your new job, and you're frankly incompetent at it. Well, maybe that doesn't describe your boss. Maybe they haven't risen as far as they're going to get. Now, I've been privileged to work for some great bosses, but I've also witnessed the Peter Principle at work. Businesses that I've been involved in have been, well, destroyed by crass and inept leadership. Lives have been wrecked. All work involves pain and frustration, but some places seem to be more painful than others. And I want to suggest to you that this pain and frustration will be worked out in every single workplace. Even if you work for St. Helens Bishopsgate, you will experience pain and frustration. You may find that your work lacks stimulation. You may be bored out of your skull. Sometimes it feels like our labours are never ending. One day you complete a task and the next day it has to be done again. It may be that you're working on some big, important, frightfully sexy deal, and then the next day the deal is pulled and your labours were for nothing. After so much expectation, well, all you've got is sleep deficit. My friends, you will never fulfill your potential at work. You will never fulfill your potential at work. You will never gain true, lasting satisfaction at work. Work has been cursed by God, and our experience of it will always involve some measure of frustration and pain. So please don't look for your status and your significance and your ultimate worth at work, because you will fail. God will ensure that you fail. In verse 17, we read, "In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life." In verse 19, we read, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." Work will often be hard work. It will not always be a joy, nor will it be fulfilling. A friend of mine, I could give you his name. He might be listening. He can work it out for himself. A friend of mine came to me a few years ago and said, "Simon, I was paid 3 million euros last year, but I hate my life. What is life all about?" My daughter had a job during the first lockdown. She was so frustrated being locked up at home. She would have taken pretty much any job. She got a job in a call center working for a local store that delivers nationally. And the people calling in were those for whom the internet was another land and another world, and they couldn't operate in that world. And so Anna had to deal with calls hour by hour, day by day. There was no respite whatsoever. As you finished one call with one hard of hearing person who was a bit slow, so the next call came immediately through. There was no respite at all. For hour after hour, she came home exhausted. She also came home with stories of lovely people who'd called in, but far too many people who called in who were rude and arrogant. And I thought, oh my goodness, I hope that's not me. Not that I'd been phoning her, "You follow me," but do think of those people on the end of your phone calls when you phone into those call centres. It's relentless, brutal, exhausting work. "By the sweat of your face you shall eat it." Anna lasted 6 weeks in that job. She's fortunate. She's got a university. She's at university. She is hoping to become a teacher. Not that I think that will necessarily be any, well, it will be different, but it won't be any easier. But for many people, that type of work is what the only option is. They might live in a part of the country or a part of the world where that's great work. That is their daily experience of work. For some of us, we have options and privileges about the type of work that we can do that others, that most people don't have. It doesn't take most people too long to realize that work is not satisfying. Now, I've got a confession to make here. Please don't judge me. The very first music album I bought, aged 11, was by The Jam. This is the modern world. Well, you can tell it wasn't very modern by today's standards, but trust me, in 1977, it was pretty modern. And there's a song in there that has rather depressing lyrics. It's called Here Comes the Weekend. And I won't sing it to you. Paul Weller's much better than that at that than me. But it goes, from Monday morning, I work for Friday nights. Collect my wages, then try to paint on the smell of soap. Because tonight I get ready early, score what I need and go pick a girl up. It speaks of the grim nature of the working week for most people, of the need to grit our teeth as we go through from Monday to Friday, and of how hope for many people is to be found in a bottle or some pills or a casual relationship at the weekend. You may have a job that initially seems to offer so much, but now it's becoming dull or frustrating. You might even go so far as to say it's becoming painful. Friends, you're just being a bit slow to wake up to the reality of the world. You're just being a bit slow to grasp that which most people understand. Yes, it's dignified to work. Yes, we must be responsible for our work. And it's important that we provide not only for our needs, but there are good things that we can do with the money that we earn to provide for the needs of others, to finance gospel work. We'll hear more about that in coming weeks. But please don't seek your status and your significance in the workplace. Because if you do, that will only lead to unrealistic expectations and ultimately to deep disillusionment. Because in the end, God himself will frustrate you. He has cursed the area of work. The world of work is spoilt. And so I just want to hammer the nail into this particular coffin by speaking briefly about the futility of work. Because verse 19 finishes, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and to dust you will return. My friends, don't think that what you are building in the area of work will last. You could look at the buildings around us. They're always being demolished and rebuilt again. Maybe you're building one of those great monuments. I can remember buildings that were there that were then demolished and were replaced with spanking new buildings, which have themselves been demolished and have been rebuilt and are halfway through their natural life. One day, you will retire. Well, you might get fired, but one day, good. Let's look on the good upside. Or you might die before this, but one day you will retire. And someone will take your position. And you have no idea what sort of a person that person will be. They might wreck all that you have been building. Work is futile. For even if what you've built doesn't immediately crumble, one day you will die. And friends will be forgotten. I mentioned at the beginning that a couple of years ago I was let go. My business is no longer my business. My people are not my people. Now, on the fateful day in which it turns out I was to receive a bullet in the back of the head from my boss, in my daily Bible reading, God's got a wicked sense of humor. In my daily Bible reading that morning, I read these words. So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. this too is meaningless. Isn't God brilliant? Because that's exactly what happened. Another took over from me. Who knows if what I was involved in will thrive or dive? But I'm out, and I'm as relevant as last month's newspaper. So I just want to warn us all about a middle-class gullibility about work that drives us into changing jobs because we're finding this one frustrating and looking for a better job that'll be more satisfying and that'll give us more status and more significance and more meaning. Because you won't, my friends, find fulfillment, ultimate fulfillment, in your work. That was never God's intention for us. We were made in order to have a lasting, eternal, personal relationship with the living God. And that's something that we can begin now. It's something that happens outside of the area of work, but it clearly impacts work. One day I will see him face to face, and I will enjoy him in a more intense and personal way than is possible now. But now I know him. I can relate to him. I live for him. I work for him. I seek to bring him into the office. It was Augustine of Hippo who said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee." So why do we work? Well, we work because we were made to work. We need to work. It's dignified to work. We're responsible for the world that God has given to us. How we behave at work really matters. I think it's far more important how we live at work than what work it is that we do. And what we'll see in coming weeks, because this is a series on the subject of work, and I realize this is a pretty downbeat session, what we'll see in coming weeks is how we should live at work and how we can use our area of work as a place where eternal things can happen. Where we can be involved in something that will last, something that will have eternal consequences. Because God's big plan is to unite all things under the person of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus and his kingdom, not my work, his kingdom will last forever. Whereas everything in this world and the area of work will come to an end. Jesus came in order to draw people, all people, to himself. And we have a privileged part to play in that, in the area of work. So come along next week. Please do come next week. It'll be more upbeat than this, I promise, to hear more about that. But thank you for joining us today, and God bless you as you go back to your meaningless work.